Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
And then you've got the smack off. I've been talking about it. It is coming. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. And now you are about to know the when. I'm about ready to unveil the date for Smack Off 25. I mean, even saying Smack Off 25 blows my mind. It's crazy. Like, if you had told me 25 years ago that the Smack Off would still be a thing, still be going strong, a quarter of a century later, and that it would have been a televised event, I would have thought that was a joke. If you had told me after the first one, or prior to the first one, that there even be a second one, I'm not even sure I would have believed that. Yet here we are. Here the bleep
here
we are.
Here the f*** we
are. A quarter of a century into this thing, and now it's time to announce the date. Get your calendar ready. Get out a pen and paper. Because, Alvy, take a little drum roll. The date of the Smack Off. Smack Off 25. A quarter of a century of smack. The silver Smack Off. The date for Smack Off 25 is Friday, June 21st. Smack Off 25, June 21. And the prize, $5,000 cash. $5,000 cash. The longest day of the year is now the biggest day of the year. So now that you know that date, here are a few other things you need to know. There are 84 days between now and the Smack Off. 12 weeks, a shade under 3 calendar months. There is a time frame and a rhythm to all of this. There are certain milestones along the road to the Smack Off. It's like a marathon. Boxes to check. Milestones along the way. For instance, you have the announcement. That's today. Then there will be the release of the official Smack Off, an Alvin DeLauro production. That's coming. Then there will be the time where I ask you to send in photos if you want them to be shown on TV during the Smack Off. I don't want them right now. I will ask for them when I want them, not now. Then there's Smack Off Week, where some participants may choose to make their pre-fight weigh-in calls. And then there is the actual Smack Off. What I'm saying is, there's plenty of time between now and the Smack Off. This is not a rush. People ask me all the time, what makes a winning Smack Off call? My answer is always the same. I can't say. I can't explain it. I can't say. Not because I won't say, because it's a secret, but because a winning Smack Off call is something that's otherworldly, right? It has that it. That thing that you can't describe and you can't explain, but you know it when you hear it. So I can't tell you exactly what makes a winning call, just that you know it when you hear it. As a reminder, here is the winning call from last year. And you'll see exactly what I mean when I say that. This is from 2018.
Hey, for those of you not watching on CBS Sports Network right now, I want everybody to head over to my Twitter feed, at Brad and Corona. I got some really tasteful photos for you to check out. And a quick request, when you guys Photoshop these things and then pass them around the interwebs later, can someone remove that pimple from my ass? And now that I look at it, I got a mole that I should probably get checked out. Hey, Jay Stu, maybe you can eyeball that thing for me and give me your professional opinion, mole boy. For the rest of you on the radio, I'll just describe what's happening. I got really fed up with Matt and Tyler talking about how good-looking they are and calling all Americans fat because we're not all fat. So I got a custom-made banana hammock with Matt's face right up by my banana and Tyler's face around back near my hammock. Clones, rest assured, I don't want to do this. I never wanted to do this. I have to do this. This one is for America. USA! USA! Breathe it in, boys. Hey, I love the pictures Matt and Tyler sent in today, by the way. I just want to say for the record that you guys aren't even good-looking. You're just good-looking compared to Mark in Boston and Rick in Buffalo, but let's face it, those two guys are pretty much last-call slump busters for any woman drunk enough to go home with them from their local Applebee's. Tyler, apparently the rhinoplasty procedure hasn't made its way north of the Canadian border yet. Because if it had, you would have already whittled down that massive schnoz of yours into something more manageable. Dude, your face looks like that helmet Brad Pitt wore in the movie Troy. I also enjoyed those pics of your girlfriend from earlier in the week sitting on that motorcycle. Yeah, judging by the way you and your boy Matt like to make your sandwiches, I'm guessing that's probably the only hog she'll be riding anytime soon. By the way, bro, bring that chick down to Southern California. She's a 7.5 at best down here. Mark in Hollywood made the transition this year from actor to professional author. And by that, I mean he just writes home to mom and dad once a week asking for help with the rent money. I'm told it's an ongoing monthly series and quite tear-jerking for Mark's parents. I'm not saying times are hard for Mark in Hollywood, Jim. What I am saying is the only acting work he's had lately consists of trying to convince the cashier at Walmart that the dog food he buys once a week is actually for a dog and not for him to chow down on in the parking lot like they've caught him doing on the regular. Jimmy, I'm so glad Mike in Indy unretired the other day, only 24 hours after no one cared that he retired in the first place. Mike's amazing, isn't he, Jim? Like, he genuinely believes that he is the best ever and that he's won every smack-off he's ever competed in. I should tell you, he also genuinely believes that the earth is flat, pee is stored in the balls, and those bumps he got after hooking up with his cousin were just bug bites, so take it for what it's worth. Hey, shout out to Cruz Pedregon for volunteering to put the Smackoff winner's name on his race car for one race. Cruz, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth here, but dude, this ain't the Indy 500, man. You race NHRA drag cars that last for like 5 seconds. The only thing quicker than that with less publicity would be if Vic in NoCal volunteers to shout out the winner's name the next time he has sex. Brad, Brady Corona! And that clones Tyler, Matt, Mike, Mona, Cablination. In the words of my boy Shaquille O'Neal, that is the difference between first and last place. So everybody take a good look at my Twitter feed and the monitors on the CBS Sports Channel right now. And Tyler, bitch, tell me how my ass tastes. Matthew, tell me how my ass tastes. Mike and Indy, tell me how my ass tastes. Cablination, tell me how my ass tastes. Everybody, tell me how my ass tastes. Left in Legimic, bitch, tell me how my ass tastes. It's delicious.
This dude, man. And you're going to argue with me that it's not the BIC versus the field. Left in Legimic Beach. All right, so that's how it sounds. That's a winning call. That wasn't even the call in its entirety. That's a winning call. What makes a winning call? I can't tell you. But I knew as soon as I heard Brad's call last year that that was a winning call. So I can't help you come up with a winning call, but I can't help you. I can offer you some advice. Here's where I can give you some wisdom that you might want to listen to. Check this. Make me want to take your call that day. Let me repeat that for you. Make me want to take your call that day. What does that mean? It means a lot of things. The biggest thing it means is just because you're in the smack-off, it doesn't mean you'll actually get into the smack-off. Just because you're in the field does not guarantee that you'll get on the air. Ask Jeff in Richmond. Jeff in Richmond is a legend. He proved it again yesterday. But even he did not make it onto the air last year. Getting into the smack-off field is tough. Getting on the air for the smack-off is even tougher. Which brings me back to my original piece of advice. Make me want to take your call that day. In other words, don't overdo it right now. Don't leave your game in the locker room. Don't waste your best material in April or May. You'll need it June 21st. More calls between now and the smack-off might not be better. In fact, for a lot of you, it's worse. It's like putting way too much ice in the drink. You might be feeling it. You might be feeling that buzz, but don't waste your energy right now. Don't make everybody tired of you right now. If you're a golden ticket holder, you have to defend it, but don't make me regret giving it to you, and definitely don't make me rip it back from you. If you're holding a golden ticket or you're hunting for one, if I see your name on my screen every day for the next 83 days, there's a pretty freaking good chance you're not getting on the air for the 84th day. All right, bring me something different. Be different. Be unique. Stand out. Make me want to hear your call. Don't make me cringe at seeing your name. Because here is the truth about Smackoff 25. Listen to this. I've already got more callers than I need for the Smackoff. Check that. I've already got more great callers than I need. I have them right now. I could call this right now. I could stop giving out the golden tickets right now. I could have this smack off today, and I've got more callers, great callers, than I need. I don't need to talk about it every single day. I could go from now until the smack off itself and never talk about it, and the field would still be amazing. When you need auto parts but you cannot get to a store, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. You can buy your parts online and then pick them up in the O'Reilly Auto Parts store of your choice. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for the parts you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Alex Bregman. Alex, it is great to have you on. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Dude, so good to have you back. All right, so you opened up the season with a win over the Rays 5-1. Let me start right there. How good did it feel just to be out there playing games that matter once again?
Oh, my God, it felt amazing. We play, I don't know, 30-some-odd games in spring training, and it's you play five or six innings and get your feet underneath you. But when you finally get out there and play Cy Young versus Cy Young runner-up opening day, it feels pretty good to get a win under your belt.
Glad you mentioned that. I was going to say you guys knocked around Blake Snell pretty well with 3 home runs and 5 earned runs in 6 innings. He said afterwards, quote, "We're in the MLB. Every team is really good, but the Astros are above really good," end quote. So what's it mean to hear that from the reigning Cy Young Award winner? Does it feel like that's the kind of statement that you guys were looking to make?
For sure. I think we take a lot of pride in our lineup, and I think our offense 1-9, and the guys that aren't starting too, the guys that are on the bench are really tough outs, and that's one thing that this team is really built on, which is being tough outs, being great at bats, and it's fun to be a part of an offense like that. And I think we got off to a good start yesterday.
Alex Bregman joining us. You also mentioned Cy Young v. Cy Young, which brings me to Justin Verlander. There is this amazing profile on you in Sports Illustrated, which I want to get into in a moment. But as part of that story, Verlander was talking to you last season, and he asked you at one point how much you sleep every single night. What was your answer, and what did you learn from him that day?
Well, I asked him how much he slept because I really didn't take that much pride in my sleep. I probably slept only 6-7 hours a day, because I always thought when I was growing up that if you sleep, you're getting worse at baseball. So I was like, you know what, I gotta wake up early, I gotta get after it. But Verlander told me, he's like, no, you need to sleep. It's actually been proven, like a lot of the best athletes in the world sleep a lot because they need to recover. So I started sleeping more, and it's paid dividends.
Alex Bregman joining us. That's a great anecdote, actually, because also in that profile, you got A.J. Hinch, and he makes the point that you had this hit off Kenley Jansen, obviously in the postseason that was so big, because you visualized it beforehand. So let me ask you this. How much of everything that you're doing in your career right now is something you already visualized? In other words, are you at all surprised to be where you are right now?
No, I think you have to visualize everything. I think you have to put it in your head that you're going to do it, and then go out and do it. I think, like AJ said about that at bat against Jansen in the postseason, it was something that I had ran through my head a thousand times before it happened. And I think the visualization is key, especially in the game of baseball. And I think you have to set goals, and you have to go knock them out of the park.
We're talking to Alex Bregman. Look, this is not something you just kind of came to. This goes all the way back, even to when you were growing up. You and your dad had a saying, and that saying was TTFU, toughen the bleep up. What's the mantra mean to you, and what's it like when your dad used to say that to you?
Yeah, well, he would always say it whenever, like, I started off my big league career 0-17. TTFU, like, toughen up, let's go. Get back in there, get to work, and get after it, and you'll be fine. He said it when I made the error in the College World Series to lose the game and kind of send my team home from Omaha. Said it last year after we lost to the Red Sox. Like, toughen up, it's time to get back in the weight room, back in the gym, back in the cage, and get after it. And I think it's a good little mindset that those four letters always click me back into working hard.
To me, Alex, that's really something because, I mean, I've got a couple of sons myself, and I kind of go back and forth with my wife where she's like, God, give him a break. Let up. Leave him alone. I'm like, look, nobody wants to do this, but trust me, they'll be better for it. I mean, do you even remember the very first time your dad hit you with TTFU? Do you remember how old you were or the first time you heard that?
I must have been 12 years old when I was playing travel ball somewhere. I must have been real young. And he's like, hey, toughen up, kid. Like, this is life. And baseball is a game of life. It's a game of failure. So you're gonna get knocked down, and you need to get back up. So it's time to toughen up. And he was telling me that at a very, very young age, and I'm glad he did.
I love it. TTFU, toughen the bleep up. Now, the other thing that's really clear, and this piece is great, you want to help market baseball. You want to help make baseball as marketable as some other major sports like the NFL and NBA. There are a lot of things that you could be focused on, and obviously you're mostly focused on your team and on your game, but why is marketing the sport and growing the sport so important to you?
Well, I think, first and foremost, I think all my focus is on winning.
Sure.
for my team. And then when we're not playing games or we're not working at the game, we have I don't know, 3 hours a day, 5 hours a day that we're not doing anything. If we want to be as popular as the NBA, as the NFL, and we want baseball to be fun again, and we want to let the kids play like MLB is saying. Then we need to market. Then we need to market our players. We need to have players that like Mike Trout needs to be as big as LeBron James. And it's not his fault. He's killing it. He's doing everything he can on the field, and he's probably the best player to ever play the game. So I think if we do it correctly, he can be as big as anybody.
Astros third baseman Alex Bregman is my guest. The question, of course, is how do you do that? For instance, what's the biggest obstacle to what you're talking about? I mean, do some of the traditions and the code of the game, you know, like not celebrating home runs too much or things like that, does that hold the game back in that regard?
I don't know. I don't know. I think the biggest obstacle is that players in baseball, we play 162 games. So the NBA has a lot of off days. The NFL plays once a week. So they have time to get out and do things like that. Baseball has a little bit tighter schedule. Now, if players want to do it, they're going to have to put in the work to do it, and it's really not that much. But I just think that's the biggest obstacle, and that's what keeps baseball players from going out and being that marketable.
We're talking to Alex Bregman. I mean, it is a grind. It's a long, long year where there's not a lot of downtime, but there is some. Now, you've paid attention to athletes in other sports and what they do in terms of generating attention and buzz outside of their sport and on social media. For instance, who are some of the guys you watched, and what have you taken from them?
Well, I think LeBron's done an unbelievable job. I think Juju Smith-Schuster has done an unbelievable job. Odell Beckham, who was my next door neighbor in college, has done an unbelievable job. And just kind of sitting back watching about how they went about it. I think baseball players can do the same thing. And I think there's so many stars in our game, whether it's Aaron Judge or Lindor or Mookie Betts or Chris Bryant. There's so many guys that are marketable. We don't wear a mask. We don't wear a football mask. So football helmet. Our faces should be more recognizable. But then you have maybe three guys with a national TV commercial. Maybe Mike Trout, a few other guys, and you see Odell Beckham's face everywhere. So they're doing something right, so I think we need to pay attention to it.
Alex Bregman joining us. That's so great. You live next door to Odell. I would ask him the same question about you if you were on right now. But, man, that's wild. What was that like? What was it like living next door to him? What was he like back then?
Oh, he was a hard worker, man. Him and Jarvis. Jarvis was one of my best friends from LSU. And I actually got to spend time with Jarvis down in Miami during spring training this year. Him and Odell have been tight forever. But those two were in the football indoor at LSU catching passes nonstop, just working weight room. They worked their tail off, and I'm happy for both of them that they've been so successful they also had a lot of fun doing it. They smiled and laughed and danced and did their thing, and it was fun to watch. And I mean, I was there when Fournette was there as well. Same kind of guy, Ben Simmons, same kind of guy. So it was a fun group of guys that are doing well now.
Alex Bregman joining me for a few more moments. I'm a huge Jarvis guy. This is a big Jarvis house. I understand you're an LSU guy, Alex, but you're a big sports fan. What about the Browns? What do you think about what you see from them so far? How do you think they'll do this year?
Well, I think if anyone's playing Madden football, they're going to want to watch they're going to want to play with the Browns. I know I am. I want to play as Baker Mayfield and have Odell and Jarvis out wide. So I honestly think. It's actually been a big debate in our clubhouse so far this spring, but I honestly think the Browns have a decent shot of going pretty far this year.
What's the debate in the clubhouse? How does that conversation break down?
Jake Marisnik and I saying the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl, and everybody else saying that we're crazy.
I don't think it's crazy at all. I can see them making a run. We're talking to Alex Bregman. Let me ask you this. I mean, you have these different interests and you want to grow the sport, but the thing is the thing, right? You're all about success for the team. At one point, you asked Brian McCann about being a leader and what it took to be a really good leader. What inspired that conversation, and what was your takeaway from it?
Yeah, well, I growing up, I always wanted to be a leader on every team that I've been on, and I saw how Brian and Carlos Beltran came in and transformed our clubhouse, and I asked them kind of what it took, and Brian told me that I needed to be able to communicate with every single player on the team and know what makes them tick, know what I can tell them and get the best out of them. So that means. Learning Spanish and being able to communicate in Spanish with some of the guys. That means talking to some relief pitchers that you wouldn't normally have anything in common with. Brian did such an unbelievable job of doing it, and I just wanted to learn from him.
It's early, Alex, but how do you think this year's team compares to the ones of the last 2 years?
You're right, it is early. We have a World Series championship team, a 103-win team, franchise record, but I think this team is extremely good. I think Michael Brantley was an unbelievable addition to that lineup, just a veteran hitter, veteran presence in that lineup, the guy that we can go pick his brain. He knows so much about the game. I think our pitching staff is going to be incredible again. Garrett Cole is going to be unbelievable year two here in Houston for him, and Justin Verlander, Cy Young guy as advertised. But I think what's really going to be good for us is Presley and Osuna at the back end of that bullpen. Those two are legit, man.
All right, so I'll be really clear about this. You're still about the thing. Baseball is the thing. The team is the thing. Success for the team is the thing. But if somebody listening right now wants to see some of the content that you're pushing out, some of the ideas you have, where should we direct them to?
They should go to youtube.com/AlexBregman. We started a YouTube channel this off season, and it kind of gives a little bit of a insight into our lives.
I love it. Alex Bregman is my guest. Alex, listen, really good to get caught up. Appreciate your thoughts, and good to run you down, man. I appreciate you so much.
Jim, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, bud. Listen up. No matter how big or small your team is, Ferguson has a winning game plan for pro contractors. With thousands of plumbing repair parts, knowledgeable associates, and the largest national footprint in the game, when the pressure is on, you can count on Ferguson. I told you yesterday, it was a stacked day. MLB opening day, the first four games of the Sweet 16. I mean, how do you describe that? As a certain Toledo news team said, it was time to slay all day.
Slay all day.
So how do you get your mind and your body right for a day like that? I'll tell you how. Three things. Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Be on fleek.
Be on fleek.
And get that Gucci breakfast.
Get that Gucci breakfast.
I'm starting with basketball. I'm starting with the West Region. The region of Van Smack. Florida State v. Gonzaga in the opener. Texas Tech v. Michigan in the nightcap. The entire Rome family in the house. What I'm saying is, there was a hundo P chance.
A hundo P chance.
Of a great pair of games. And it lived up to all the hype. Florida State, Gonzaga, an epic battle. Two teams that are talented as hell, gritty as hell, and they can throw down. There was one dunk after another, one highlight reel play after another. FSU's Trent Forrest with the rejection.
And go for big stretches. There's a steal, a breakaway. Norvell coming from the... Oh, what a great rejection by Forrest as Norvell crashes to the floor.
Such a sweet recovery. FSU's Terrence Mann with the strip and the dunk.
It's Perkins. Pickpocket once again by Mann. Now they got a 3-on-2. The pump, the drive, and the tomahawk.
FSU with the alley-oop on the break.
Through the hands of Jones and picked up by Forrest. Racing. Hold on here. It's Vassell with the jam. It's 6-point game.
There was Rui.
Well, until he began the season on play. Hachimura puts it in with a beautiful feed from Tilly on top.
And it's an and one. They called a foul on Cabangeli.
And Brandon Clark with some putback nastiness.
Defense looks the ball. Rolls a shot in by Clark. Parachutes in. And so left shoulder.
And those were only the highlights on the floor. There was more. Because at one point, who came by my seat? The OG himself, John Stockton. John Stockton, the OG. Incredible. Even more incredible, Janet brought him over to say hello to me and the boys. Unbelievable. I'm minding my own business. Janet had gone up to get something to eat or use the bathroom, and I'm minding my own business, and I'm hanging out with the fellas. And Janet goes, Jimmy, look who's here. Oh, John Stockton. Good one, Jano. Must have been that big beer she had. So awesome. True story, though. John Stockton came by. Gonzaga, great. Great to see him. And as credible as Gonzaga is, before I give them their much-deserved love, FSU gets some, too. Leonard Hamilton's crew has got a ton of heart. They were banged up. They did not have their whole team, and they just kept battling. Every time it looked like Gonzaga was going to end them. And it. Florida State came right back. They made it a game. Much respect to Coach Hamm and his crew. And much respect to Mark Few and his guys. He's going to his third Elite Eight in the last 5 years. Gonzaga, 3 Elite Eights in 5 years. It's amazing. They're tough. They're deep. They've been tested. And they're going to get tested again tomorrow night because they're going to face Chris Beard and Texas Tech. Texas Tech, 63. Michigan, 44. Had I not been there to see it, I may not have believed it. Tech put that kind of a beating on the Wolverines. An absolute beating on Michigan. That arena last night was loaded with fired up Michigan fans before the game. The freeways were loaded with depressed Michigan fans after the game because Tech flat out dominated them. That was as nasty a defense as I've seen in quite some time. They held Michigan to 16 points in the first half. I'm in the arena watching that game, and everybody's crying about the game and how bad it is and how nobody can make a shot. And I'm thinking to myself, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Look at my man Chris Beard. Look at the way they're D'ing up. This is exactly how they want this to go. They held Michigan to 16 in the first half. They didn't let them get to 20 until after the 24th minute. Insane defense. They weren't just holding the Wolverines without points. They were going long stretches without them even getting up a shot. And if you didn't appreciate Chris Beard before, maybe you know you will now. Forget the Lucky Charms and the Whataburger and all the things that make him a great interview and a great presence on this show. This guy can flat out coach his ass off. Nobody locks up a John Beilein team like that. Nobody. Coach B is going to the Hall of Fame, and Beard just put his crew in a straitjacket because that's what Chris Beard does. Round of 32 with Little Rock, and now back-to-back Elite Eights at Texas Tech. It's amazing what this guy's doing. Back-to-back Elite Eights at Texas Tech. Hell, if I were UCLA, I'd give this guy a blank check right now. If I were Texas Tech, I'd give him a blank check before UCLA does. In the words of a certain Toledo weatherman, that's Tech's amazing. Tech is amazing, and so is Beard. And those two games, as good as they were not even the best of the night because there was Tennessee-Purdue, which was unreal. The Boilermakers smashing the Vols by 18 in the second half, and somehow Tennessee gets back in the game. They didn't just get back into it, they took it over. Admiral Schofield, if you need him.
And Schofield, a long three. You bet! Admiral Schofield has given Tennessee the lead.
Still one of the best names in the game, the Admiral. But Ryan Klein was not going to let Purdue fall apart. He put on a clinic. How sweet was this?
Motel Easter gives it up. Klein, the hot hand, 4-3. It's down. What a half for Ryan Klein.
And then this, with less than 40 seconds to go. It's insane.
Three. He's going to have to take a long one. Klein, step back. Three for the tie. He's done it again.
He looked like he had no idea where he was going, but he knew what was happening the entire time. Absolutely drained it. But Tennessee still had a two-point lead with under 3 seconds left. Purdue inbounding. Get the stop. Get the win. Move on. Right? Roll it.
The basketball is handed to Klein right now. He's looking. He's looking. He has no timeouts. He's having trouble. Throws it to Edwards. Edwards, three in the corner. No, but there's a foul. They call the foul on Tennessee, and Carson Edwards is going to have three free throws with 1.7 remaining.
Insane. Carson Edwards fouled in the act of shooting a three? A brutal moment for Tennessee. You've got the chance to end that game right there, and you commit a foul? But then Edwards, who had a monster game, steps to the line for Purdue and misses the first free throw. Brutal moment for Purdue. You have the chance to end that game right there, and it slips out of your hands. But then Edwards shows serious steel. He goes make, make, and we've got overtime. And then Purdue runs away with it in OT. The Vols simply ran out of gas. Purdue advances 99-94 in the game of the tournament so far. Then tonight, we've got LSU, Michigan State, Auburn, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Duke, Houston, Kentucky. You think that'll be any good? I think so. Stay woke, yo. Mike Budenholzer is my guest. Mike, it is so good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How you doing?
Mike, I'm great. It's great to visit with you. You're coming off that win over the Clippers last night. Mike, let me start right there. Chris Middleton had 39 points. He had 8 rebounds. He had 5 assists. I'll get to Giannis in a moment, but how special has Middleton been this year?
Yeah, he's been great. You know, I think the combination of him and Giannis and really the whole group, the way they play together, it's just been really good. And Chris is, you know, I think one of those guys that's a little bit underappreciated, undervalued, and but not by us. You know, he's a huge part of what we do. Last night, he, you know, obviously got hot and scored a lot of different ways and put up 39. So he's been great this year.
39, 8, and 5. Now, Giannis had 34, and he had 9 rebounds last night before he appeared to aggravate his ankle after a dunk in the fourth quarter. You know, Mike, obviously, when an MVP candidate like Giannis tweaks something at this point in the season, there can be a tendency for people to naturally panic. How concerned are you, though, at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he's been kind of managing and dealing with a little bit of an ankle thing for the last probably 10 days or 2 weeks, and so I mean, there is always some concern, but I would say, you know, I think we're pretty confident that, you know, long term he's going to be fine, and he's going to be able to play. You know, I don't know about this weekend, but you know, I think he's in a good place, and he'll be okay, and he'll be ready to go soon.
You know, in the short term, you've been dealing with some injuries to a number of guys down the stretch, yet the team just keeps on rolling. How have you been able to deal with the injuries and make sure the guys get healthy while at the same time winning 4 straight and 7 of your last 9?
Yeah, you know, all year we've kind of talked about, you know, our roster and the depth. You know, John Horst, as our GM, just done a, you know, amazing job of putting together a team and making additions and trades all throughout the year. And so we've had great depth and great health, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're a little banged up. But, you know, we have guys we feel like 1 through 13, 1 through 15 that can play. And, you know, now we're down to 8 or 9 guys that are, you know, healthy. And, you know, they're getting taxed a little bit. But we feel, you know, really good about our group. And I think that's helped us get through this little stretch.
Bucks head coach Mike Budenholzer is my guest. Man, Mike, it's hard not to talk about Giannis. I mean, he joins Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson now is the only player in NBA history to average 27 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists for a season. Anytime the Big O's name comes up, you know something special is happening. Now that you've had nearly a full season with Giannis, is there something maybe you know about him now that you didn't know when you first arrived?
Well, I mean, you learn so much in this first year together. He's just, you know, I think the competitor in him is just, you know, off the charts. I think everybody at this level is a great competitor, but there's guys that are elite and special, just like, you know, with shooting or any other skill. His competitive nature is just very, very special. And, you know, I think it drives him to be great. He wants to be, you know, in the conversations with the Oscar Robertsons, the MVPs, the best players to ever play, the best players playing now. His work ethic is phenomenal. You know, I would say his unselfishness has really stood out to me. He's doing anything and everything he can to make his teammates better, to make us better, for us to win, or, you know, have the best record in the East. He's just phenomenal. He's a beast.
You know, one more thing about him. You said that you see some similarities between Giannis and Tim Duncan, who you coached in San Antonio. Obviously, that's amazingly high praise. What is it about Giannis that reminds you of Tim?
Yeah, you know, I think just the purity of their kind of competitiveness, the purity of their love of the game. They, you know, Timmy was an extreme. You know, he didn't care about, you know, any of the media, any of all the, you know, kind of the surrounding circus that sometimes is part of the NBA. You know, Giannis has a little bit of that, and they just love playing basketball. They love winning. I think they, you know, they'll do anything for their teammates. They're happy when their teammates succeed and have success, and it's genuine. And you can just see and feel, you know, a guy like Tim Duncan, a guy like Giannis, that it's rare to see somebody that, you know, is so happy when others succeed and just has a purity to his competitiveness. He just wants to win every night. That's all he's about.
He is something else. We're talking to Mike Budenholzer. We're talking Milwaukee Bucks basketball. Actually, speaking of your time with the Spurs, San Antonio retired Manu's jersey last night. What are your memories of working with Manu and coaching him, and what made him so special?
Yeah, it killed me not to be there last night. He's just, you know, similar. You know, we were just talking about, like, that competitive nature. You know, I think that's something that all organizations try to look for. And certainly, you know, with Manu, it was just, you saw it with the Argentina national team. You saw it when he was playing in Europe before he came over here. He's just a winner. He'll, you know, he has this infectious spirit that he plays with and enthusiasm. He's a little wild, a little crazy. But man, he's a special human being. He's great to visit with away from the court. He's just, you know, another one of those really special players that, you know, I feel incredibly fortunate to have been around for, you know, whatever it was, you know, 10, 12, 15 years.
Like a really special player and a really, really good dude that, like, almost everybody loves, which brings me back to your team. The guys on your team really genuinely seem to like each other a lot. They have fun. They go to dinner. Middleton, for instance, told The Athletic, quote, "We don't really have a-holes on this team," end quote. So how important is that, and how valuable is it to have a vibe of fun and positivity and not have a-holes on the team?
Yeah, I think it's huge, you know, for us to be having the success we have or are currently having. It's, I think, played a major role in it. You obviously have to have talent. You know, you can't get things done in this league without, you know, a really high level of talent. But then you add, you know, high level chemistry and guys that really care about each other, guys that really like each other, like playing together. You know, it can turn into something special. You know, I think that's what our players feel like is happening here this year. And, you know, no bad characters, no a-holes is definitely a good thing, you know, when you're trying to do something like this.
It's always good not to have a-holes to work with at the office. Mike, before I let you go, there's one guy I have to ask you about, too, and that's Brook Lopez. He had 12 and 9 last night, including a pair of threes. We're talking about a guy who did not make a single three until his seventh season in the league. And he had a total of 3 after 8 years, and now he's taken nearly 500 threes this year, and he's hitting more than 37% of them, and he earned the nickname Splash Mountain. What's it been like to coach him and giving him that opportunity to let it fly?
Oh, he's been such a big part of, you know, what we've done this year, both ends of the court. It's insane what he's done for us defensively, you know, the numbers and everything. You just go talk about all that. And like you said, the three-point shooting, the space he gives Giannis, the space he gives Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton, really Malcolm, everybody. It's been a lot of fun to work with him and coach him. He's you know, obviously, you know, really, really bright guy. He's fun. You can go back and forth with him. And He's just been, you know, integral to everything we've done this year.
It's so amazing to me the way he's adapted and completely changed his game 10 years in. So finally, Mike, the organization has not won a playoff series since 01. I totally get that you're focused on the task at hand, but you know postseason basketball. When it comes to playoff basketball, how different is it than the regular season? And then do you change your approach as head coach?
Yeah, you know, I would probably be one of those guys that argues that, you know, I think it's still basketball. It doesn't change quite as much as people love to say that. And it's, oh, there's some truth to that. But I also think, you know, you've been building your habits and you've been building a way of playing all year. And the teams, you know, you don't suddenly, you know, go change everything, your identity that you've been doing. So, but, you know, the attention to detail, you know, I think some of the time management and just all those things, you know, become even more important. But, you know, we're certainly excited about the playoffs starting and, you know, the challenge that comes with the playoffs.
Milwaukee 57-19, best record in the NBA. They're at Atlanta on Sunday. Their head coach in his first season with the Bucks is Mike Budenholzer. Mike, I appreciate you very much, and I really appreciate you taking time to come back on the show. Thank you for that.
Yeah, appreciate it, Jim. Take care.
Tax season can be daunting, but with TurboTax Live, a real licensed tax professional has your back. Their CPAs and EAs on demand bring years of experience to your tax returns. In addition to answering your questions, guiding you through the process, and maximizing your refund, their tax pros can review your return before you file. TurboTax Live with CPAs and EAs on demand. See details at TurboTax.com. That's TurboTax.com. Alvin wants in. Must be good then. Alvin, time now for the week that was as edited by you. Welcome to the jungle. An awesome Monday to you. What's going on? How you feeling? Hope you had a great weekend, and it is great to have you here. My God, Hawk, smile at least. The LA Marathon, both the boys finished. They both made it into work the next day. Way to man up. Let me start with the Sweet 16.
Yeah! Puts it up, no good. Tap back.
UCF came that close to knocking off Duke. Three top 10 picks, and UCF nearly did it. Every time I see the end of the game, I expect that tip to drop in. I still can't believe it didn't go down.
Email.
If that rat-faced dude walked into my locker room and tried to teach me a life lesson, I'd have ripped the whiskers off his face. Unward Duke. If Taco does not foul out, the end of that game might have been different. If my aunt had Nad, she'd be my uncle. We're talking to Mark Few. Just know the entire Rome family is going to bust out to come to the game on Thursday to watch you do work.
Oh, my goodness.
But I don't want to put more pressure on you.
No. I'm good with that. I'm good. But that is awesome. It'll be great to have that support. And now that I know you're coming, I hope we play great. We're going to have to. If we want to move on.
Hey, what do you guys think of Roger Goodell?
This is not the end of the Patriots, but it is the end of an amazing Patriot and a true original. You are the Fiesta. Let the fiesta begin, Gronk. We are joined by Landry Shamet. Despite that humility, is there any party that feels like saying, it's about time?
Jim, it's funny, man. I don't think I'm ever going to lose that feeling of being, you know, overloaded, you know, being on your show and, you know, being able to get asked the questions and all that. That's the chip I'm always going
to
have.
About to finish a marathon.
Aaron Sleeping Burns.
Burnsy. Wow. What up, Burnsy?
My boy.
Adam, I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much.
You are
no longer the Sparrow. You are back to being able to utilize your other fake name. You're once again Hawk. Matt Norlander is my guest.
Jim, hold on a second. Are you telling me right now this guy ran a marathon and is back in the studio? What's going on here?
We're all kind of shocked, but he did.
You know what,
it.
Though? I'm going to need video evidence.
The double tap does what the he wants!
Does anybody really think he's going to walk away from making stacks of cash and just becoming a whiskey maker? Doubt that. If that tweet is the end, that is a bad ending. And if it's not, it's just a bad look. Paul Solotaroff is my guest.
Peter says, well, which shortstop would you rather have playing?
And Cashman gets to five before Jeter stands up in tears and runs out of the room saying, that's it. I don't want to play anywhere else, but I can't be in this room another minute.
Holy crap, Paul.
Not only is American cheese not worthy of having its slices individually wrapped, its outer wrap should be a clown suit. When the other cheeses have a party, American cheese sits home uninvited and eats a whole pack of itself from depression.
Don't ever, ever, ever leave your girlfriend alone with Motley Crue. They will have sex with her.
We are joined by Buzz Williams.
Rome, thank you so much. Please tell Coach Sampson I said hello and congratulations.
Kelvin Sampson.
You talk to Buzz again. Tell him I appreciate him. He's a great friend. Proud of him and proud of his program.
If you think they can't maintain focus for 30 minutes, don't force it. Figure it out. Shake it up. You don't hire a guy like that to be like everybody else. Good job, Cliff. Chris Beard.
Today we had the Lucky Charms for breakfast, Jim, but they're not in the boxes. They're actually like in a glass Tiffany bowl with a silver spoon. It would be my pleasure to cashed in some NCAA tournament Sweet 16 snack, you and the fam, tomorrow.
Matt in Van.
Rick, you look like an angry, screaming human penis, man, mixing a baseball cap. Let's get it on. Peace.
Gotta be kidding me about that.
A-bag.
And Jenny. Still white in our faces. I turned around, and there it was. A-Rod and Jenny, right in my face.
Right in my face.
John Calipari is my guest.
You know, I got to deal with every day going home, and you won't believe this. I sleep with that kid's mother. I love it.
I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate you, man.
Videotape of a 77-year-old man's genitals being manipulated.
If that hits the interwebs, good night.
You're not going to watch it, or you are?
Oh, I'm in line. I tell my wife, move over and let me get a look.
Wow, I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Oh, yeah. And then, boom, it hits him off his chest. Bam. Down goes Stark. Oh, my God. I go running over. I'm like, oh, my God, Mr. Feller, are you okay? And he's just in the ground like, oh. And here I am. I think I might have killed Bob Feller playing catch with him.
Double ding ding.
I got an idea. Let's open up opening day. Let's compete with that. That is a great idea.
Seth Curry is my guest. But my guy has a prison mentality when it comes to food.
That's my guy, but he was really lurking on me on the plane that day. He was looking over my shoulder watching me eat. I was obviously hungry after the game.
Anybody else want a piece of anybody else?
Armani, Versace, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Prada. Who wants to walk with Jeff from Richmond?
Your geritol popping geriatric jag bag.
Sup, pippity pimp. You ain't nothing but a penis bitch.
Sasquatch.
What's happening, partner? As soon as you get down here, I'm putting you in a chokehold. And I'm not letting go until your face turns the same color as your bright red alcoholic nose.
Jimmy, look who's here. Oh, John Stockton.
Hey, John.
Good one, Jano. Must have been that big beer she had.
Yeah!
We're talking to Alex Bregman. TTFU.
TTFU. Like, toughen the up. Let's go. And he's like, hey, toughen up, kid. This is life. And baseball's a game of life.
Because him without a home is like Jim without the road.
Jeff.
Matt's pretty well versed in a variety of mammalian genitalia. I'm not really sure what's going on in the great white north, but I kindly ask that you keep it between you and Tyler.
Alex Rodriguez was collateral damage. That's the best way to put it.
Smack off 25. A quarter of a century of smack. The silver smack off. The date for smack off 25 is June 21st.
Told CBS Sports Radio's Jim Rome.
I appreciate you having me on, Jim.
Oh, it's chalk.
They are the Kremlin.
The line of the shields.
I wake up and I feel like
play all day.
I'm the antibiotic.
Okay. Peace. Fupa Chalupa.
7.5 likely to be a single mom in high school.
And fun and deadly, Romy.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good night now.
Damn, Alvin. No wonder you said, I'm ready. Dude, that was a freaking masterpiece. That was a freaking masterpiece. Maybe the best week that was ever. Billy Corbin is my guest. Billy, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Thanks for having me back. I'm great. Thank
you. Good. So let's get this out of the way really quickly. The movie is insane, and it's a documentary that focuses on the 2013 Biogenesis steroid scandal. It's hard to believe, Billy, it was only a few years back. But the thing is, even if people think they know the story, they still don't. They don't really know the story. Before you tell everybody who pitched you the idea of making the movie, how would you summarize this scandal?
Alex Rodriguez was collateral damage. That's the best way to put it, because everybody thinks of him when they think of the Biogenesis scandal, because obviously he was the biggest name brought down by it. But the best way to put it is that the career of the highest paid baseball player in history effectively ended over a $4,000 debt between a cocaine-addicted fake doctor and his fake tan-addicted steroid patient.
Billy Corbin joining
Miami.
Us. Right.
Because of Florida.
Perfect. All right, so who pitched you the idea on making this, and how did that meeting first come about?
So we knew about the scandal, obviously, like everyone else did, in about January, February of 2013 when the Miami New Times broke it. So it was very much on our radar, but we didn't think of pursuing it right away until November of that year, while Alex Rodriguez was in the midst of his appeal on his record-breaking suspension with MLB. And I got a call from Alex's publicist, who I knew from University of Miami alumni circles, and he said, listen, Alex is going to be down on a break from the arbitration in Miami. He'd like to get together with you to discuss maybe doing a tell-all documentary. So we were originally pitched the idea of doing a Biogenesis documentary by Alex Rodriguez.
Amazing. So you would think that if you're going to have a meeting like that, it would have to be really low key. What time and where did you meet?
Oh, yeah. We were told that he has an office in Coral Gables, which is this really affluent municipality adjacent to the city of Miami, right by the University of Miami campus, in fact, home of Alex Rodriguez Field. And so we figured we were going to meet at his office there. And they said, no, let's have lunch at high noon on a weekday at Hillstone Restaurant, which is the power lunch spot in Coral Gables, if there is such a thing as a power lunch spot in Coral Gables. All I could tell you is that every day it is just slammed at lunch and happy hour. And so that's where Alex holds court, and that's where we were ushered in down the center aisle of the restaurant with an open kitchen and giant windows in the front so everybody everywhere could see everything happening in the dining room. And he was at a center booth in the back of the restaurant, sort of practically in the middle of the restaurant. And we stood up on this platform, which is where the booths are built onto like a stage, and sat there meeting with Alex Rodriguez. And my back was to the dining room and he was facing the dining room, but I could feel every pair of eyes in the place on the back of my neck. It was quite a show.
How extremely Alex of him. Billy Corbin joining us. Now, Billy, of course, there is Anthony Bosch. Now, some people may remember him and his name, but who was Tony Bosch and where did he go to medical school?
Well, Tony Bosch was the fake doctor, a term he takes umbrage with. He prefers unlicensed physician.
Right.
Who a distinction without a difference, and he attended medical school in Belize, what one of our interview subjects refers to as the Belize School of the Medical and Performing Arts. And quite an artist he was. He got into the anti-aging business when that was burgeoning in South Florida in the late aughts. And he had a great reputation. Word of mouth was incredible. He had clients, just normal Floridians and Miamians who were looking to reverse the ravages of time and aging and who wanted to build muscle mass or lose weight. And, you know, he had housewives, judges, 100 cop clients, and just regular people about town. And then he got a reputation for this methodology he called microdosing, and which would enable professional athletes, allegedly, to take testosterone, human growth hormone, and not pee dirty if a drug test was sprung on them. And it worked for a while, until Manny Ramirez came up dirty in a surprise drug test before a game.
We're talking to Billy Corbin. So, Billy, how did Bosch start getting connected to baseball players, and who were some of his clients?
Listen, in Miami, you know, particularly in the baseball community, the immigrant baseball community, especially the Cuban community, it's a very small town, and everybody is kind of interconnected. And obviously, when you're in we'll call it a gray market business. Truth be told, some of it was outright black market. In fact, some of the testosterone and HGH he was selling was made by a dude in his garage, the suburb of Miami. And of course, he didn't have prescription powers, but he was using other doctors' prescription pads, not legally. And so when you're in that line of work, you can't do outdoor advertising or TV commercials. You know, there's no billboards. So it was just word of mouth. And in fact, when Manny failed a drug test and they started to connect him very much in the news to Anthony Bosch, to Tony Bosch, that actually did not hinder Tony's business. It actually helped it because it was suddenly national repercussions for the Manny incident in 2009. And the next thing you know, he's got a client who says, my cousin plays for the Yankees, and I'd love for you to meet him. And they went to a boutique hotel in Tampa, and the door opened, and it was Alex Rodriguez was the cousin.
Billy Corbin joining us. So what kind of products was Rodriguez getting from Bosch, and how much was that helping him?
I don't know. I mean, I know what Tony claims he gave him and what I think Alex thought he was taking, but truth be told, I can't be certain what any of this stuff was. Tony had a variety of products. Like I said, some of it was produced in a garage. Some of it was in a compound pharmacies, they call it, where they concoct various things semi-legitimately for guys like Anthony Bosch who want to sell supplements and products made of various different, you know, vitamins and things. But he had gummy bears, like gummy bear type products he called troches. He had more standard, you know, things that you would inject when you think about steroids. There were certainly, you know, things taken in whatever method they could get it. And as long as you followed his protocol, he said, you'd be able to basically game MLB's drug testing system. And in the case of Alex, that's true. He never, you know, in the latter part of his career when he was working with Tony Bosch, he never had a failed drug test that I'm aware of.
Billy Corbin joining us for another few moments. Bill, you and I talked about this on my podcast. I mean, there's so much to this movie. I could keep going. We're kind of short on time, but let me ask you this. Rodriguez is now a respected broadcaster. He's engaged to Jennifer Lopez. He's gone from like a pariah, a villain, to nearly a hero. What do you make of where he is in his life right now?
Well, it's just America, isn't it? We are through the looking glass. You know, up is down and down is up, and A-Rod is beloved and Jeter is hated. What the hell happened, man? You know, I mean,
right.
It's like it's the exact opposite from when they were playing, you know, now that they're retired. But like it's a resurrection we haven't seen since Jesus Christ, I got to tell you. Happy Easter, everybody. But like A-Rod, it's miraculous. I don't knock his hustle. I think he's damn good at his job. And the best way for me to describe it is that baseball has become like everything else in this country, especially politics. It's become the WWE. And it's all about the storylines. And when Bud Selig, the steroid commissioner, you know, was ending his career right as the Biogenesis scandal erupted, he went to his second command, Rob Manfred, and, you know, said, hey, I'm the Vince McMahon of this operation. We got to make Alex Rodriguez the heel. He was already the heel, really, you know, when he was a player. And so it just would be natural that on his way out the door, Bud Selig would be able to have the biggest scalp you could get in baseball, you know, and say to prove once and for all that he did something about the steroids in baseball when, in fact, he knowingly exploited and profited from it. And so once he rode off in the sunset with, you know, A-Rod's season-long suspension, Manfred, you know, ascends to the throne. He's now the Vince McMahon. And everybody knows the best storylines in WWE are when you make the heel the hero. And so Manfred back, well, not only bring back A-Rod, they brought back Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle, for crying out loud. And they were great. It was great television. It was a great storyline. And now Alex is doing it, and I think doing an incredible job at it. I don't expect a wedding invitation, but I think he's doing a great job.
You should, Bill. You should be his best man. Unbelievable work. The film is out in theaters today. If people want more information on it, where would they go to find that information, Billy?
Just come to screwballmovie.com, and it's playing in 12 cities. And as you said, next week on Video On Demand.
The latest film, Screwball, comes out in theaters today and Video On Demand on April 5th. I've already watched it. It's awesome. Billy, great job. Really nice to have you back. Congrats.
Thanks, Jim.
Let's go to Mark in Boston. Mark, what's up?
Hey, Jim. I just have a quick sports take before I get to the meat of my call. Michigan sucks. Okay, I'm going to move on. Hey, Jim, I was going to ask Alvy to play the fat alarm underneath my call, but after seeing that picture of Jeff in Richmond yesterday, we should probably update it. Jeff. Pretty ironic Jeff tries to sound like Stone Cold when it looks like he spends all of his time at Cold Stone. Hey, you know how the workers at Cold Stone sing when you give them tips? Well, hey, Jeff, here's a tip, dude. Use a promo code on a Peloton because you weigh a Peloton, my man. And, Jim, I know it's hard to tell from Jeff's picture, but that's actually a regulation-sized Virginia Tech helmet he's holding. I'd ask you to stick your neck out there and get some new content, Jeff, but you don't have one. And I love Jeff going after heavy hitters like Matt in L.A. Save some for the smack-off, buddy. Must have been Taco Thursday yesterday. We know Jeff isn't a UCF fan because he'd never let a taco fall. Jeff in Richmounds won the smack off in 02, has spent the last 16 years in a diabetic coma. Seriously, bud, the game has passed you. If your time in the Commonwealth doesn't start incorporating some common health, you literally won't have any feet to stand on. And Jim, they also say aloha when you die. And if Chunky shows up in the smack-off, we're going to murder that dude later.
Damn, that was good. That was really good. Mark in Boston. Let's go to Rick in Buffalo. Brother, Rick, what's going on?
I did the math, Jim. And in my 20 years of teaching high school, I've been called an angry, screaming peen no less than 40,000 times, roughly 10 times a day. And I always appreciate the sophomoric humor. But big props to Matt and Van for being the first one ever to qualify it as a human one. Which leads us to the only logical conclusion. Matt's pretty well versed in a variety of mammalian genitalia.
seriously, Matthew, I'm not really sure what's going on in the Great White North, but I kindly ask that you keep it between you and Tyler. And if we're talking facial features here, Jim, there's no way we can ignore the gigantic pot roast hanging off of Matt's bloated face. Maybe the extra Botox wasn't such a good idea, big guy. Sure, it got rid of your triple chin. Trouble is, it left you with one big fat one. If I'm the jungle's angry peen, then Matt's its Fupa Chalupa. And I got an idea, Jim. Instead of Team Canada wasting their time with two more boring smack-off calls, they should just send in a video. Tyler can slap Matt's dumpy chin. Then we can all sit back and watch it reverberate for about 10 minutes. Trust me, it'd be way more creative and a hell of a lot funnier than anything these idiots have planned. Were Tyler asking Matt if he needs any laundry done, then getting six pair of bloody tighty whities thrown back in his face. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Yeah.
No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Do I rack it or do I run it? That's the call. Back to the phones. Tyler, what's going on?
What's going on, Romy? How you doing?
Good, bud. How about you?
I'm good, man. Have a good vacay. I want to send a quick shout out to my guy, Alvin DeLauro, for that 3-hour, 26-mile performance he put on with the misses last Sunday. Good job, Alvy. And, Drew in West L.A., sweet skateboard, man. Want to go spray paint some trains with Ira Craig later? Let's just forget about being an adult altogether, man. Like, what is life? Romy, I couldn't help but notice that Brad and Corona gets a little extra salty when it comes to the Connor McDavid half of Team Canada. I know the jealousy is strong, bro. I get it. I really do. But even you couldn't help but compare me to Brad Pitt in your call last year, so I want to thank you for that. And by the way, dude, you've made 10 grand in the last 2 years of the smack off. The least you can do is go buy yourself a squat rack. If your ass is any flatter, that hammock you were wearing is going to start looking like a saggy diaper. And with this talk you had last year about me needing surgery to fix my nose, dude, that's a SoCal thing. That's the kind of thing an insecure skank in Corona like you would do to keep your house cow happy. By the way, dude, I know my gal isn't a 7.5 there, or anywhere for that matter. She's a 10, all right? Get over it. The only thing 7.5 about her is the 7.5 she's getting from me, which is about 6.5 more than the anteater that's on the inside of your man thong.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Tyler in Edmonton. Let's go to, what the hell? They're all pretty similar. Why not just go in order? Matt in LA. Hey, Matt, how are you?
Romulus Change. Thanks for the vine. Hey, and Straight Jacket. Respect, homie. Way to drop that. Since the days of the Fat Twins on mopeds and Margot Kidder's wooden chiclets were dominating the jungle fax machine with Dark Gable. Since Mark Grace was telling you how much that Viagra-Greg Maddux loved pitching, your boy Matt in L.A. has had your back, pimp, and I'm always honored to represent the best sports talk show that America has had to offer for the last quarter century. But I'm not calling to hype up just the jungle or 2019 Manager of the Year to beat Doc Roberts. I'm calling to acknowledge that Jif peanut butter from Richmond damn near broke the internet last night, Romy. Mainly because there's a 500-pound limit on profile pictures. But I kind of respect this oversized oaf for finally showing his swollen dome to the clones. Never mind the fact that he mistook that Armani closet for a stash of La Tigre and Izod collar shirts, as evidenced by said obese profile pic. But Jif, brother, if you really are raking in that cage like you rake Cornish hens into your gullet daily, replace that soccer mom, shoulder-padded, tan landline phone with something from this century. You beef tallow sweating, Wesson oil excreting ogre. Aloha means a hola. War Belly Clarkson going on tour with a taco truck in tow. War James Kelly's entire arms fitting through chain link fencing. Outro.
John in Portland. You're next, John. What's up? How are you?
Well, good morning, Rome. How you doing, sir?
Good, bud. Good.
Hey, first, man, let me start with Hawk. He's letting some of the clones come through on the air. Hawk, you might want to be careful because you better do a job, better job screening. Romy might let you go to bring back Charles Nelson Carbone. Oh, as far as your University of Washington as your alma mater, because you went there, I went to the grocery store. I bought cilantro, degree in herbology. That's my alma mater. I went to the dentist, got my teeth worked on. Now I'm a licensed orthodontist. That's my alma mater. Come on, Hawk. That's not an alma mater. You can't just went somewhere. You got to go there. Portland State Vikings.
Right. That's not a good call. No.
Banging telephone calls.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Johnny in Detroit. Hey, Johnny, what's up?
What's up, Jimmy? Hey, wow. You know, they should just replace that old This Is Your Brain on Drugs commercial with a still image of Matt in L.A. Holy cow. Hey, what a great response we had from Lex. That tape was about as hard hitting as a two-minute diatribe about American cheese. Personal appearance, Mac, really, from Mark in Boston? That's about as ironic as Caleb in Green Bay ordering a Diet Coke with his double-double. I mean, everybody's so proud of Hawk for running this marathon. Who even cares? The guy works out six of the last 744 hours, and he gets a medal for it. I mean, the only person we should be proud of is Matt and Van for standing up to his adult bully. You look like a penis? What, doo-doo face and four eyes didn't want me? That take was softer than the shirt Tyler gave you to sleep in. Hey, how about next time you bleed the red off that flag of yours and wave it like your ancestors? Cal in Vegas claims to be a professional gambler. Are you kidding me? Cal, playing the odds and hoping you pick the least Aziz hooker on the strip isn't professional gambling. And Liz, I'm so glad Liz called in. If Liz wins a golden ticket, it'll be the first thing she's won since being voted the most likely to be a single mom in high school. Late.
Oh, Johnny. Cold-blooded. B-I-C. Brad, what's up?
Jimothy, how are you, buddy?
Good, Brad. How about you?
I'm good. I'm checking in, RSVPing for Smack Off 21. I will be there. I will be defending my title this year against all these lames, which is something I haven't been good at in the past. So guaranteed I'm there. Quick shout-out to Tyler in Shredmonton. Tyler, you're a very confused young man. I did not compare you to Brad Pitt in my Smack Off call. I said your face looks like the helmet he wore in the movie Troy because you have a terrible, terrible, large, oversized beak of a nose, dude. And by the way, the only 7.5 you've ever given your girlfriend has to do with the number of different HPV strands you exposed her to the first time you guys had sex. And I'm the last dude you want to accuse of having an anteater, bro. Canadians are pretty much honorary Euros, which basically guarantees you and your boy Matthew are rocking turtlenecks even when it's hot outside, okay? So go take those adult baby wipes you guys carry around with you 24/7 and clean out some of that schmeg before you come back on my airwaves.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Holy crap. All right, y'all. Ultimately, none of you will be called to the mat for this. It will always be me. It will always be me, Brad. The suits aren't calling you in. It'll be me.
Good night now!